It is Thursday morning. We get caught up with local school issues with the MCCSE. Keith is usually here with us as well, but we always check in with Sue Wanzer. She serves on the MCCSE board. Sue, good morning. How are you?
I am great, and I'm so happy to hear that weather forecast. Maybe I can take down my outdoor Christmas lights.
You know, I made that suggestion last hour. I think that's a wonderful plan, and I think I put a little asterisk on this one. Yeah, you got it. It's not going to get much nicer than this, so take advantage of that Saturday. If it's a Tuesday, Sue, when it's 50 degrees, I get it. You got to work. You got things
exactly
to do.
Exactly.
But again, the 20-foot inflatable Santa and sleigh, you can take it down now. You can take
it. I don't have those inflatables.
Well, but you know the one I'm talking about in your neighborhood that you've seen a few times.
I know. That's the hugest one
exactly
I've ever
right.
seen.
Thankfully, that just runs on air. Anything else would have put those folks out of business.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, we appreciate your time as always here on a Thursday. We know the school, second half of the school year, obviously, after the Christmas break, is up and running. And we had an incident, well, an avoidance of an incident. What are we? How should I term this at Bloomington North? I did this story in the first hour about a student relaying information to the Bloomington North, High School North staff there about perhaps a threat happening. I know the details are vague on this, and I'm fine with that, but I commend whoever did this because we have so many times in our country, sadly, where we have to go back and say, geez, everybody was kind of talking about this, but nobody did anything. So you want to call it tattletaling? Well, I'm not. I'm calling it disaster aversion.
Exactly, and that's one of the things that all of our school staff talk to kids about and also talk to parents about. To be aware of these kinds of things. And when you hear something, don't feel bad repeating it. Don't feel, like you said, like you're tattling or it's a rumor and you're spreading rumors. Those are the kinds of important pieces of information that school staff need to know. And it was wonderful. Once again, this is how we've been able to curtail a lot of these kinds of things.
Well, and I think students have to know as well, when you put it on social media or you put it on the internet, it's not an inside joke anymore, or it's not a ha-ha, that's funny. Go say that in an airport. Go say that at a courthouse. You can't do that anymore.
Well, exactly.
And those kids are sharp in this day and age that should know if you're towing that line, you might be in some trouble.
Well, and that's exactly it. I think kids are aware enough of their own safety that they don't want anything.
Who wants to go to school and be scared to death all day?
Right, and that's one of the things, that's our primary concern, is making kids feel safe and secure in their environment. You can't learn if you don't feel safe and secure.
Being a teenager is awkward enough. You don't need all this other stuff to go along with it.
Exactly, and the fact that our protocol kicked in, the staff utilized our Safe Schools plan, they were able to contact the parents of the child to be able to talk about that. BPD and the sheriff's office is always so supportive of us, and they're there in a moment's notice, so we're able to take care of it because we have a great community that supports our schools.
Our guest this morning is Sue Wanzer. She serves on the MCCSC school board. And do we hear anything more down the road about this, or is this something that if there are charges of criminality in any sort, that's the next time we're going to hear?
Well, exactly.
I'm not sure how this works, right?
Right, and it's not something that I, as a school board member, would know. I have no need to know this because our schools handle this.
But from your perspective, do you want to know what the quote-unquote issue was so you can, help with preventative medicine down the road? Or is this just one of these kids are kids and you just kind of have to go with the plans that are in place?
You know, and that's a really good point, Mike, because if it turns out, you know, that it's somebody who's troubled, we know that we have some services that we can intervene and we can help with that. If it's a kid who has an environment that isn't safe for that child, we can intervene with that.
Yeah, because it's interesting how kids sometimes cry out for help, and it's not always using the word help or something
exactly.
else. It's look at me, look at me, look at me.
Exactly. And some of these things, too, then end up in the criminal justice system. So that's for somebody else to make that call And that's not my decision. That's somebody else's decision. So, and I trust that our schools handle these kinds of things wonderfully and work well with the local police and our local social service agencies.
Sue Wanzer is our guest. She serves on the MCCSC School Board. And we talk local education issues here every Thursday morning just after 8 o'clock. As we move forward here on Thursday, as we mentioned, we've just gotten things started here in 2015. Briefly, when's your next school board meeting? Is that next week?
Well, you know, the school board has a retreat on Tuesday that's for the school board.
Gotcha.
It's not an open meeting. That's our time that we usually do annually or semi-annually to talk about our relationships, how we work together, what are our standards and our expectations of each other. So that's always really, really helpful to talk about those things. We don't talk about business or anything else like that we can't talk about if it's not public. But this is for us to do some things so that we know that we're working the best we can together.
Excellent.
And then our next regular session,
right,
the 27th,
okay,
at 6 o'clock. So that'll be our first regular session of the year. And again, you know, that one's open to the public comment at the beginning of the meeting, and everyone is invited to attend.
Yeah, and we'll have agenda items before that happens for us to talk about as well.
Yes.
And obviously this time of year, we talked last time about reorganization, about the president, vice president doing all that,
mm-hmm,
things. And that usually means that everybody's doing that, whether we've seen with the city council, county council, et cetera. And this time of year, we also hear from our leaders higher up the chain, meaning the governor, and he gives his
right.
State of the State address, and education was part of that focus. Let me get your thoughts on what you heard and what bothers you, because I know you don't see eye to eye with the governor on education funding.
Well, as you can imagine, Mike, I'm pretty disappointed that he wants to increase the amount of money going per child to charter schools. He wants to lift the cap on tuition for students who want to go to private schools. Again, to me, it's just an indication that there's no real support or no understanding that he and the legislature has about public education and the common good and the purpose of common schools and how those came about historically in the 1800s for educating all children. And I know it sounds really good for him to say, I want all children to have school choice. You know, kids have always had school, or parents have always had choice. They can send their kids wherever they want. I don't agree that public taxpayer money, should be used for a private school or a religious school to be educating our kids. That's for another pot of money that's not taxpayer money.
Well, didn't he have another angle here where he wants this much money to go here on overall education, or did I read that incorrectly?
He did say it was going to increase by 2% this year and 1% the next year, which, you know, and that's what we've been dealing with for years and years and years. The most usually is 2%, which, as we all know, really doesn't do anything to keep up with inflation, with our energy costs, our equipment costs, our maintenance costs, let alone giving people raises. So a 2% increase is really difficult to deal with. And for people who think that education is failing, which I don't agree with, public education is not failing, especially here, but if people really want to improve education, one of the best ways we can do it is ensure that we always have the best and the brightest teachers, and that translates into better salaries for our teachers.
Didn't he put something in there about rewarding better teachers as well? Wasn't that one of his
goals?
Yeah,
he had something for a teacher performance grant, and I don't know what that means. Just like this past year, the legislature put into effect the evaluations of teachers, and that raises would be tied to that. And then the legislature was all disappointed when so few teachers ended up ranking as poor. So I don't know. I wonder if the legislature's trying to. They've already made an assumption about what they think is there, and when they don't get that answer, then they're disappointed and they change until they get the answer that they're looking for. And I just don't think we have a state loaded with really, really bad teachers. Sure, we have some bad teachers. Every corporation, every industry has bad employees, but it's very, very few. And the fact that we have such good teachers in this school corporation who still teach despite some of the conditions and despite the way that they're demonized by a lot of different politicians, not just here, but a lot of different politicians, I just don't get it. We do know there are fewer and fewer students going into education programs at the college level, and I think that's because people are looking out and seeing the way that public education and teachers are being treated.
And the other interesting point to come out of Indianapolis this week, this is the Indianapolis Star, Chris Turner. Three bills that could usurp Superintendent of Public Instruction Glenda Ritz's authority over the State Board of Education were introduced Tuesday in the Indiana Senate. The legislation would allow the board to choose its own chair instead of falling under the de facto leadership of the state superintendent, a four-year post filled by Indiana voters. This marks the latest attempt by Republicans to wrest control of education in Indiana away from Ritz, a Democrat. Three bills, huh?
Well, you know, and again, you know, she was rightfully elected by a majority of the people in this state. She got more votes than the governor got. You know, I wonder what would happen if we had a legislature that said, hey, we want to take away the powers of the governor and have a bill to curtail his powers. I don't think anyone would ever...
Why don't they just get rid of the position altogether?
Allow that. Well,
because what they're doing is, again, as we just said, they're going to put three bills in here to try to get rid of her power anyhow. And then there's a committee with 11 people on it. 10 of them are already appointed by the governor. What are we fighting about? Why don't we just wipe the slate clean and try to start over what's best in general?
Well, I think that's the point that they're making. They don't want an elected superintendent of public instruction. We already have an appointed board, and they want an appointed person to run public instruction. And
how did this go with the Republican in charge? Because Glenda Ritz is the first Democrat in 35 years to get hold of this position, correct?
Right.
So I'm just confused on what the superintendent does and why it's, again, it seemed to be fine when it's Republican-controlled, but if it's Democrat-controlled, it's not. Much power?
And I believe because education is part of the state constitution, that we have an elected leader for education to oversee what's going on in education. But it was real interesting. The League of Women Voters had a legislative update on Saturday here with our local legislators who kept saying that they support local control of education, and I don't really get that since they're trying to do everything from the State House and even taking away the powers of the superintendent of public instruction. So I disagree that they believe that they want local control, because we know, as Keith and I have talked about it, it just keeps diminishing and diminishing.
Interesting. So we'll see where that moves in the State House. And
this is a long session, so it goes until April, so there'll be time for people to weigh in. Also, the legislature is considering changing the iRead 3, which is the reading test in third grade, to determine if children read on target and if they can be passed on to fourth grade. They're considering doing it in the second grade. And I know that we have a lot of parents up in arms about that. They're concerned enough with the way standardized testing is going. We have a number of teachers who oppose that. So I would say people should pay attention to that, too, as the legislative session moves on.
And how does this directly affect us, if at all, here in Bloomington? I don't want to make it sound like that we don't.
Well, again, it's a state-mandated test that our students would take, and somebody at the state level determines the test, determines how it's scored, and then makes recommendations on what happens to those students.
But they're just going to change it next year anyhow, so why do we shouldn't get all worried about it now, should we?
No, except if there's enough people who speak out against it, and maybe they can keep it from passing.
I see what you mean. It just seems like once we get comfortable with one thing, they change it, and they change it, and they change it. So you just have to be adaptable.
That's what former State Senator Vi Simpson always said when she was in the Senate, especially with funding. You know, we change the funding formula, and then 2 years later we don't like it, so we change it again, and then we change it again. And she said at some point we just have to see what works and what doesn't work instead of constantly changing everything, and I would agree with that.
Interesting. All right, Sue, anything else we need to touch on here on a Thursday morning?
Something that doesn't relate to education.
You want to talk about Dr. Pizzo passing
at 93. Yeah, Tony Pizzo, you know, I knew that he had been gravely ill for a while, and I knew that he was in hospice, but it doesn't lessen the sadness when he passed away yesterday. Certainly a great loss to our community. I met Tony back in 1999 when I first went to work for Pat Williams in the city. And, you know, there couldn't be a more gentle or kinder man who cared so much for his family and his profession and especially the community. I just believe he was a model for the way we all should be in our community and towards each other. So I just wanted to say how sorry I am and what a great Bloomington treasure we have lost.
the Monroe County Hall of Fame inductee in 2005, served on around 100 state and local commissions and boards. A very, very long and prosperous life. And again, condolences to his family. Dr. Anthony Pizzo passing yesterday at age 93. Let's end on an uplifting note, shall we? Have fun on your retreat. And you and Keith will talk. We'll hear all about that next Thursday. And as everybody is reminded, this is a retreat that is not violating open door laws or anything like that.
No, it's just for us. This is not business. Yeah.
It's just for those folks to get together. And then we'll get the agenda for the meeting of the month coming up a little bit later.
We sure will. And I'm looking forward to the 50 degree weather this weekend.
There you go. Get out and enjoy it. And I'll be with you taking down those Christmas lights.
Okie dokie.
Thanks, Sue.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Mike.
The time and the insight.
Okie dokie.